This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 Nanaimo.
And welcome back to People First Radio. That was singer-songwriter Lori McDonald singing from her song, The Street. We've been listening to the voices of people who participated in Monday's Homelessness Radio Marathon. Singer-songwriters Lori McDonald, Bobby Schramm, and Joe Stanton shared their thoughts during the marathon's open mic segment. This year marked the seventh year that community and campus radio stations across Canada have shared a national discussion about homelessness and poverty issues. Here's more from that discussion as it emerged in Nanaimo.
It's so easy. It's so easy for people to think of homeless people as the other, as somebody else, somebody who's not like me. But homeless people are just like us. They're just like us. They have challenges and problems. They have joys and humanity. They're just like us, except they're homeless.
You need to be more aware of your spiritual being, the social status within the group. You don't speak to an elder the way you would a teenager, and a teenager would definitely not speak to an elder the way you would in the Caucasian world. So there's a lot that we need to learn about relationship with ourselves and with those in our community, especially in a community that is as finely balanced mm-hmm. as First Nations with nature, self, and the environment, which to me is different than nature. But we're learning a lot as we're learning to repair the damage that's been done. And I think what you were just saying is it's not just First Nations, Métis, persons. It's all people. If we can learn how to do this and do it well by example, then generally we'll improve.
If I could just add to that, too, around the relationship of working with Aboriginal people. Many Aboriginal people state that they want to have service delivered by Aboriginal people, and I think it's that connection and that understanding that they know there's a recognition when they see another Aboriginal person that they know that they have the same kind of history, and there's that basic understanding there. And as well as when we access mainstream service or clinical services, that comes from an education base, and as a people that are from a holistic point of view, we also include our mental, our spiritual, and our emotional. So when we come from a place where it's all education, it's all clinical, it's all mental, it's all in your head, it doesn't make any sense when you're not connecting with your spirit, with your emotion, and with your physical. So all those things need to be in balance. And Aboriginal people just recognize that without having a big, huge discussion about it and having research projects done on it. We just get it. And there's a recognition, even if you see an Aboriginal person on the street, you recognize and you nod and you smile. And you don't know them, but you know that there's something, there's a connection. So people want to feel that connection when they go to get service. They don't want service thrown at them.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just looking in the paper for, rental units, and I've seen,
you want to go on there?
Like people are expecting their renters to pretty well pay their mortgage, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't have this happening. I think the city should, whenever somebody builds an apartment building, should maybe make it a part of getting that building permit is a certain percentage of the units be low rental for people, you know, that can't afford like the $1,100, $1,200 for a basement suite? Like, that's outrageous.
I was born here in this community in 1961. And, of course, it troubles me in the sense I'm an alcoholic. To know that my peers, so to speak, it's hard to say this, But it's by choice. They don't want to do it. Like, I've talked to three different men that I would have to say are my peers, and I'm 47 years old. There's no magic to it. They don't want to take the responsibility. Meaning that all the good efforts through programs such as Salvation Army, Loaves and Fishes, it's not that it's if they'll take it on, if they're, like, how can I say, willing.
What do you think gets in the way of that willingness, Gregory?
It's through addiction. There again, it's difficult to discuss. It's like if you've been evicted 4 times in 1 year, and you approach a landlord and say, "Yeah, I've been evicted." Even if you're lucky enough to get someone to take you on, then your friends will come over, and you don't want to be an ass, but you end up getting evicted again. Mm-hmm. Like, I think what it comes down to is you got to talk to the people and come to the common ground that it is by choice.
Yes, I'm in sympathy with anything that's being done about relieving the homeless. But in order to enlist public support, it seems to me, particularly for First Nations people, the public has to be educated. And what I would like to recommend, and probably a long-term effort, and that is that the First Nations people should have a history book that's taught from the elementary school level up to the secondary school level. It should be, the authors should be First Nations people, the teachers should be First Nations people, and the students should receive recognition for those that pass. But I can't see any long-term changes in public attitude until people learn, and learn at the student level, about the abuses that have gone on in the past. The only way to enlist public support is to educate the public. Thank you. End of message.
I myself have ended up in that situation, so I'm very well aware of the repercussions and how difficult it is to get back in your feet with the current resources, so I'm very much behind it. Where do I begin on that one? Total despair in a lot of ways, having gone to quite a number of institutions, everything from the hospital to the Salvation Army to the crisis response team to looking for safe housing to the John Howard House. And there was just barrier after barrier after barrier. And no matter how much I seemed to, you know, voice my opinion, it was like, well, you're just part of the you're part of the problem, and you don't really, you know, you just become a number at that point. Mm-hmm. And my background, I mean, it was the strangest experience in the world, because I had a degree, and used to be 15 years a very high-level businessman, and suddenly I was relegated to the ranks of basically the people who are discarded. And, it'd be essentially discardable citizens is the category you fall into. And there was really no, the frustration was, for me, the greatest frustration was that there really wasn't any distinction between people who wanted to recover and get back and those who didn't. You were all lumped into the same ball of wax. So basically, once you were at that point, it was next to impossible to get off the streets. I managed to, but it took every ounce of effort and experience to and drive to keep forward that finally I was able to get myself off the streets and out of homelessness.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Jan, and I'm here with Kevin. Today, we're replaying some of the comments made by participants in Monday's Homelessness Radio Marathon. This year, CHLY Radio increased its participation by bringing the voices of dozens of people from Nanaimo to the air. We're going to continue with our condensed version of the 14-hour-long Homelessness Marathon.
Yeah, I moved about 9 years ago to Canada, and before I came here, I grew up mostly in third world countries where homeless people are everywhere. It's rampant. It's part of society. When I moved to Canada, I did not expect to find a situation like that here as well, although it's more concealed in some way. It's hidden. It's like dirt swept off the pavement that nobody talks about, you know? It's a first world country trying to hide that. And when I came here, I did not know anything about First Nations or their culture, because that's not talked about either in Europe or in West Africa where I grew up. They have a very stereotypical vision of Indians and cowboys, and that's being represented to the world. There's never any discussion whatsoever in regard to First Nation rights or the problems that they're facing in Canada.
Well, yeah, and what a ludicrous idea that they came up with to have this extreme weather thing, you know? I mean, come on. It, you know, when the weather is 0 degrees and raining in Nanaimo, it's
cold.
Not that much fun.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a different cold than you would find in places like the prairies and Montreal, because it's a damp cold, and it soaks right into your bones.
And then they've got no place to get warm. So once you're cold, you're damp, you're going to be ill.
Exactly.
And these are people whose nutritional, whose autoimmune system isn't the strongest to start with, right? Mm. And we were talking, too, about people who are gypsies or couch surfers.
Yeah.
So they're not included in that number either.
No, and a lot of the couch surfers, you will find more youth doing the couch surfing, mm-hmm. and more women doing couch surfing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both being more relationship-oriented than the male population, will have better access to that aspect of maintaining a roof over their heads.
Being on the streets myself, a lot of the times it was a trust issue with people that you go to access discrimination, whether you're going to the emergency ward or the hospital, mm. Whether you're going into a government office or a non-agency, you're discriminated right from the get-go because you're homeless. There's a lot of good resources in this community that need to be addressed, like the walk-in clinic for mental health and addictions. Prior to that, there was nothing around. You had the emergency ward, and if you're in there in psychosis or anything else, it's not the place to be. So it's good, but the one bad part of it is you can go in and see a counselor on that, but if you want to get assessed, it takes 3 months to do so, and that is unacceptable.
That's what makes homelessness so crushing. It's when you really start to think about the fullness of what the word home means, because we're not really just talking about homelessness in the sense of people, where people are living in a street or a shelter, but of what they lack when they lack a home. And within that concept of home, we have so much involved. We have our children.
Family.
Our families, our security. Yeah, our well-being, where we prepare our food,
mm-hmm.
Where we sit down together to read a book, warmth, mm-hmm. comfort. You know, the comfort of heart that comes from being in your own home, and also the fullness of your humanity and being able to express that in the color of your walls or the particular ornament that's special to you that sits on your mantelpiece, or the picture of your children, or the picture of that old house mm-hmm. back home. Mm-hmm. All those mm-hmm. things that make home wonderful and that we love so much.
Well, I'm really concerned about this, actually. I'm hoping that the BC government will step forward and provide some more solutions for the issue of homelessness. Before 2010, I can't say whether it will happen for sure or not, but part of the problem, I think, when we think about homelessness is people are looking at people with addictions and people with mental illness as they aren't seeing people with mental illness and people with addictions as being equal to themselves for some reason. Mm. And by not doing that, that kind of stigma is creating a real problem in getting these issues addressed. You would never allow your sister with cancer to live on the streets simply because she had cancer. But if she has a mental illness or an addiction problem with drugs, it's fine for her to live on the street and have no hardly any supports in place. And this kind of thinking is really horrific. People, I would say every single person cannot deny that they have an addiction of some sort. If it's not cigarettes, it's food. If it's not food, it's getting on the computer or video games or exercise. Hopefully it's a healthy addiction, but often more than not, people do have unhealthy addictions.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment, and this I've heard from other people. I have a lot of friends who work for the welfare ministry, and one of the things that we've all found is that the majority of people don't care about these people. They don't care about the poor, and this is why we have governments who do not respond. And they really don't care. And there's an interesting sort of phenomena taking place right now. There's a lot of people who have lived middle class lives because they were fully employed in one thing or another, and now they have found themselves unemployed. And they've gone maybe through all their EI, and they're turning up at the welfare offices. And these are people who for years and years have had middle-class standards of living, and they are really angry. First of all, they're horrified to discover how little money people get on financial assistance.
I believe it.
And they also don't think of themselves as the poor, and they see themselves as being superior. And they have an awful attitude when they go in. Not all of them, but the majority of them they're very aggressive, they're rude, etc., etc. So personally, until people start to think about others, we're not going to solve this problem.
This is People First Radio. We're listening to the voices of Nanaimo and participating in Monday's Canadian Homelessness Marathon.
And we listened to Pam Edgar, Tammy Wiley, George, Gregory Shepherd, David, Talis Antima, Gord Fuller, Wallace Mallet, Simon Wilson, Carolee McDowell, and Stephanie. Jan, what has the experience been like for you thus far? We've listened to about 20 minutes of the many hours, excerpts from the many hours of conversation that happened on Monday.
Well, I'm fascinated by it because while I was out and about and streaming people into the studio, I wasn't able to hear what their comments are.
Yes.
And were. So I'm finding it interesting just to hear what people in fact were saying. Mm. And there are some very, very excellent comments that we all could benefit from paying close attention to.
We'll be back with more of our condensed presentation of the Homelessness Radio Marathon in a moment. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.